All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28 this morning. And we shall begin reading in verse number 1, Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Father, we ask your blessing here. And we pray that our hearts would be touched and encouraged this morning through this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In, two or three weeks, we'll be celebrating Resurrection Day and a time of great joy in Christendom. And we're glad of that and all. But it really is marked with one of the most tragic days in all of history, is the fact that it required the Son of God to leave the throne of heaven to come down here and spend 33 and a half years on the earth amongst ill treatment, to say the least, and then to be victimized by wicked, sinful men. Seems hardly fair. Seems hardly fair. And as we see here, and as it relates to many that were close to Jesus, they were all traumatized by this whole event. I mean, they had, as the song says, high hopes. And then all of a sudden, right out of the clear blue, it's all shattered. Like over the course of a week, everything just came crumbling down and to his ultimate crucifixion. And so it was a sad day, and one that left many that were close to him bewildered. The sad thing is, well, it's not sad, but in the midst of sad things, Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. We get troubled easily. We get troubled when things don't go our way. We get troubled when as we imagined things would be, they don't turn out that way. We get troubled when fear sets in. We get troubled when we just don't know what's going to take place. We get troubled, overly troubled sometimes, when events occur in our lives. We always think it's the end. And so I want to give you some things here that will give some hope, even in the midst of a heartbreak. This whole situation here, everyone associated with, perhaps except for the angel, they're all heartbroken. And they're going there and they don't fully understand what's going on, and here's Jesus missing and all. And do you ever feel like sometimes life is treating you that way? Well, I see some things in here that are encouraging. Number one, let me start with this. The angel ends up giving them a word of comfort. A word of comfort. And sometimes, you know, that's perhaps all we need. Just someone to care. Just someone to give a word of comfort. Look at what it says there in Matthew 28 and verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye. Fear not ye. You know, over 100 times in the Bible, God tells us to not fear or to not be afraid. I suspect that the reason for that is because we tend to be afraid and fearful. And so he has to constantly reassure us, we got this. You've probably heard the expression, I know I've used it many times, you and God make a majority. And if God, Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? In John 16, 22, he said, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Here's Jesus, and you know this, but he had foretold them that these things were going to take place, and that he would be crucified and rise from the dead. And yet, even though they knew it, just like us, even though we know certain things here, we still won't embrace it. We still say, yeah, but. In John 14, 18, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so the first thing that we see here is that there is, in the midst of this heartbreak, a word of comfort. Now, what was comfortable about that? Well, the sacrifice of God's Son was acceptable. God accepted it. John 20 and verse 17, he said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended unto my Father. In verse 9 of our text, which we didn't read, he said, and they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. In verse 10 it says, and Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go to Galilee, and there they shall see me. You know, there's an interesting thing here that he says to one, touch me not. But then shortly thereafter, they come, his disciples come, and they're touching him and they're worshiping him and all. How is that? Well, the thing that we don't get the blow-by-blow on is how he left and went to heaven and deposited his blood on the mercy seat in heaven and then returned. And as our high priest offering himself as that sacrifice and offering himself as the sacrifice, recognized immediately that what he did was acceptable to God. And then death is now transformed into the entrance into glory, and we can be assured of our own resurrection. In Revelation 1, in verse 17 and 18, the Bible said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. In John 14, 19, the Bible said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. Did Jesus rise from the dead, folks? Then we've got nothing to worry about. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even as in Christ shall all be made alive. Even prophetically speaking, by Isaiah, in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, he said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Again, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, in the midst of heartbreak, we can't undo it. Would be nice if we could. I've often felt sometimes people look to the preacher as someone who could, kiss it, make it better. But you can't undo it. So what can you do? Well, you can give a word of comfort. A word of comfort. The second thing that I see here as giving us hope in heartbreak is a word of compassion. A word of compassion. Sometimes when people go through things, in order to sympathize / empathize with them, we'll say, well, that's just like me. Well, sometimes that doesn't actually go over all that well, because it's kind of taking it now off of them and bringing it to you. But in Matthew 28, in verse 5, the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." He understood what it was that they were grieving about, what was troubling them. He said, "I know who you're seeking, and I know that he was crucified. I'm not going to minimize this. I'm just going to be compassionate towards you." And sometimes we have a tendency to downplay what someone's going through rather than just simply say, "You know what? I understand. I understand. I know what's troubling you." Now, we always, depending upon who you are and what your upbringing is, we can do that more easily than others. Sometimes we say, "Oh, cut it out. Stop your crying." You know, but that's really not showing much compassion. If someone's grieving, what did Jesus do when he saw them weeping over the passing of Lazarus? Jesus wept. He didn't come out with a box of tissues and say, "Stop the crying, stop the crying." He understood, and he felt right along with them. Lamentations 3 in verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Even in victory, we can find compassion. 5 times the psalmist said that the Lord was full of compassion. Are we? Are we? Jude, now I know that this is in a different context, but I think it speaks well. It says in Jude verse 22, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." What's that saying? Well, forget the context of the passage itself, but to lift it out of there and just simply say, you know what? Being compassionate sometimes makes all the difference. And so, in the midst of this heartbreak here that they're experiencing, and we all do to one degree or another, there was a word of comfort, there was a word of compassion, and yet there was also a word of conviction. A word of conviction. In Matthew 28 and verse number 6, "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Notice, they were upset, but they're reminded he's not here. Why? Because what are they thinking has happened? Somebody took him. I mean, what else could it be? But he says, he tells them, notice the colon there. "He is not here for reason, he's risen. Not done yet, as he said." There's the conviction. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, a great resurrection chapter, right? The Bible said in verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. It's really wordy there, and I don't fault God for that, but what he's basically saying is you can't have it both ways. If Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then what are you saying he didn't rise from the dead? And if he didn't rise from the dead, let's eat, drink, and be merry. Let's go home. Because that's really, I was telling a gentleman the other day, I said, you know, the real crux of the Christian life is not a cross. Because I was being asked, are you going to have special services on Easter? I said, every Sunday is special to us. I said, Now, I'm not trying to pop his bubble or anything, but I told him, I said, you know, the issue really is not so much the cross, which people make a big deal of, but the empty tomb. The empty tomb is the telltale victory of all of Christianity, because a lot of people have been religious and died, but they didn't rise from the dead. And so there's the importance of it. And the word of conviction is, he said he was going to rise from the dead. He's not here because he rose from the dead. And he told you that. The conviction part, sometimes, you know, we have to understand that God has said some things in his word that we need to be reminded of in those times of heartbreak. Not rubbed in our face, but just reminded. Remember God said this? Remember God said that he cares about you. You can cast all your cares upon. He careth for you. It's important. Now, Luke's account of this, notice what he says in Luke 24 in verse 6 to 8. He said, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. Sometimes all we need is a little conviction, a little nudge, in order to remember what God said. Remember what God said. And so, again, in the midst of this heartbreak here, we see a word of comfort. We see this word that has been given as a word of compassion, and then a word of conviction, but then a word of confirmation. A word of confirmation. And there are three proofs here that is submitted. It appeals to the fulfillment of prophecy, because it says, as he said. It wasn't just a nilly-willy, serendipitous type of thing that occurred out of the blue. He said it was a prophecy. He prophesied he would rise from the dead. And they say that to him. That's the word of confirmation. As he said. Hebrews 6 and verse 17 tells us, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God will confirm certain things in our lives. And so it's been appealed to here as the fulfillment of prophecy. It's also appealing to the general senses of the individuals. Notice it says there, come and see. Now is not required to give us any proof of anything. But when all of a sudden God can say, well, take a look. Remember, he did that with Thomas? What was Thomas's response when that took place? He said, my Lord and my God. And that's the key here. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. I mean, that's the key, folks. Sometimes the proof is right before our face, but we're in denial. And then this appearance, a miraculous appearance, if you will, and proclamation of the angels themselves. it says, "Lo, I have told you. Lo, I have told you." And so a word of confirmation. Sometimes in the midst of our heartbreaks, that's what we need. But notice also, I don't want to say this too much without sensitivity, but life goes on. Life goes on. And so here we find also a word of commission. A word of commission. He said, "Go quickly and tell them." I mean, what do you think they wanted to do? Probably sit around and have a pity party for a while. But he said, "Okay, you've seen it, you've experienced it, you've been made aware of it all. Okay, let's go." Matthew 28 and verse 7, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead." And of course, what did they say immediately? "Oh, goody." No, they didn't believe it either. Matthew 28, 19, "Go ye therefore." Because of what has taken place, folks, we're given this instruction. Now, I have read something recently where it says, you know, it was a great soul-winning clinic or preacher or whatever, and he's saying that the church was given the instruction to go into all the world. And they're using Matthew 28. There's no church there, folks. The disciples were told to go and do that, but he didn't instruct the church. But nonetheless, if we as believers and have garnished the truth of the Word of God and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we ought to tell somebody about it. I mean, if you knew of someone in your immediate family that died and rose from the dead, I think you'd tell somebody. You wouldn't say, "This is our little secret." He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost." And we'd better go and teach nations, because they're really fouled up right now. Because think about it, there's no one on deck to go and, well, there is. There's no one apart from the church that's going to tell them. And there is somebody on deck that is going to go. But he's not going to teach, he's going to deceive. Revelation 20 and verse 7 and 8, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations." If we won't do our part, he's going to do his. Number 6, the word of continuation. He says in Matthew 28 and verse number 7, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you." He goeth before you. God's program's not over, folks. I know a lot of people want to just, put the brakes on once they got saved. It's like, that's done. I'm all set. See you in heaven. But the program continues on. God's program's not over. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." We've got to keep on going. Yes, heartaches are going to visit us, trials and tribulations and all, persecutions. Those things are going to come our way, but you've got to keep going. James 1 and verse 25, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Sounds to me like, if you just tear the sentence apart, do some sentence structure here, it sounds to me like if you want to be blessed, keep on going in the Word of God. A word of continuation. Like I said, this is not, you know, an abandonment of what has taken place and the sorrow that they're experiencing, but rather, okay, we've acknowledged this. There's been the attempt on the part of the angel here to give them some encouraging words, but now Let's keep going. The word of commission, the word of continuation, and then number seven, the word of challenge. The word of challenge. We didn't read it, but look at verses 8 and 9. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Does it sound to me like they were kind of convinced because of everything that's taken place? And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Now, maybe I'm reading into it a little bit, but it almost sounds to me, it's kind of like the 10 lepers. Jesus said, go and show yourself unto the priest. And as they went, they were healed. Well, they're told here, go quickly, go tell his disciples. Now, many probably would have said, I can't, I'm too brokenhearted right now. I need a few weeks to just absorb this. I gotta go see my therapist. But it says, as they went, he met them. He met them. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. Hey, we could read into that all kinds of ways. Lo, when you get low, Jesus is still with you. When you get high, no, that would be different, I guess. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We've touched on this verse a few times over the last, I don't know, month or two, but it always jumps out into my face every time I read it and I muse upon it. But in 1 Peter 5, in verse number 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, what happens? Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After you've settled, after you've suffered a while, oh, come on, Lord. Well, sometimes we need to experience something. Remember what it said, what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 about Jesus prophetically? He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And inasmuch as we want to just have fun and fellowship and all that stuff in the Christian life, and that's, hey, so do I. But we're going to experience some things along the way. There'll be some heartbreaks, but it doesn't have to be the end. Jesus said he said it, but he didn't say it per se. It's quoted, I believe the Apostle Paul wrote it here in Hebrews 13:5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, we're going to experience in just a few weeks, two or three weeks, we'll be reminded on an annual basis of the crucifixion and the resurrection. And all of it to Christians tends to be positive. We get excited about it, yes, that's the means of our salvation. It's all wonderful. But for those who were immediately around him, that walked with him, that experienced him day in and day out, this was a traumatic experience. They could have seen it. They should have seen it coming. He told them. But, just like any sudden catastrophe that comes in our lives, even if you know it's coming, if you know somebody's dying and they eventually die, you don't go, well, I knew that was coming. It's still the abrupt catastrophe in and of itself hits home. And when it does, we need some hope. And the hope is available, as just as we see here. And so, maybe some of you thought as we began here, he's a little early on this message, isn't he? Well, yeah, but I was reading the other day and I saw this and I thought to myself, you know what? Some folks are going through some things right now. And in the midst of it, when it begins to get rather weighty, we need some hope in the midst of our heartbreaks.